from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
To Willard and Dibs.
Sorry about my dog. Hey, cut it out.
I don't know if we've met your dog yet, Steve.
Sounds like she's a stretch four. Got some size to her in that bark.
More of a backup point guard.
On 95.7 The Game.
All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? And we're going to have one of those fancy schmancy guests here in just a little bit. Probably in about a half hour, TJ Houshmandzadeh is going to join us. Brandon Ayuk's personal wide receiver coach. And we'll get the latest. This is a little bit of a curveball, though. You ready for this, Dibs?
Sure, yeah.
I haven't heard this yet, but you tell me. Is this a thing? Steph Curry, who was amazing today for Team USA, finished with 36. Far and away, the leading scorer for Team USA in a game where they had to rally back from 17 down against Serbia. And it was not until probably the final 5 minutes of the game where it actually looked like Team USA had a real good shot. They make that rally. They win that game. They will go to the gold medal round. So it was quite a thing. Probably the most memorable Team USA basketball game in quite some time. And NBC talked to Steph right there on the court after the game, and he said this.
This is everything I imagined it to be. Obviously, this is my first go-around in the Olympics. Knew we were going to get challenged by a great Serbia team, and to have to beat them 3 times this summer was going to be tough. I just kind of got lost in the moment of understanding how big this stage is and what's at stake for this team, and it was special. It was the most fun, you know, I've had in a very long time, and to dig deep like we did with this group and get a win, special. So I'm kind of basking in that right now, and obviously know we got another tough challenge, France, on their home court.
Okay. Most fun I've had on a basketball court in a long time.
Yeah.
Does that do anything to you? Does that trigger at all? Or is that just somebody who just had a great performance?
He had a great performance, and you could think backward on the last time that Steph Curry had that much fun on a basketball court, and the first thing I thought of going backward was hanging 50 on Sacramento in Game 7 to clinch a first-round victory. Maybe this was more fun than that.
Yeah, I wonder, because that looked hard. That was like, you know, if you go back to that time and that team, you're coming off of an embarrassing Game 6 performance at Chase Center. You have the speech that we all heard about where he asked for everyone to trust him and get on his shoulders.
Get on the bus if you're with us.
Get on the bus if you're with us. And then he's got to go out and do it. And he does because he's that amazing. But that also felt that season just felt like a slog.
True.
You know
so
what I mean?
This was probably more fun than that. And even going back further than that, well, he was the finals MVP.
Yeah, how about game 4 in Boston?
Yeah, maybe that was more fun. But that is, you know, kind of a long time.
Yeah.
Is the most fun I've had. Did he say on a basketball court or the most fun I had, period?
Let's hear it again.
is everything I imagined it to be. Obviously, this is my first go around in the Olympics. Knew we were going to get challenged by a great Serbia team, and to have to beat them three times this summer was going to be tough. I just kind of got lost in the moment of understanding how big this stage is and what's at stake for this team. And it was special. It was the most fun, you know, I've had in a very long time. And to dig deep like we did with this group and get a win, special. So I'm kind of basking in that right now. And obviously, know we got another tough challenge, France, on their home court.
He did not say most fun on a basketball court. He just said the most fun I've had in a while.
Well, I was just thinking about him winning the American Century Celebrity Golf Tournament, which was only last summer, which was pretty fun. And when you start thinking about Steph Curry and his life, he does a lot of things that are pretty fun.
I mean,
so for this to be the most fun he's had in a long time, that's saying something, because his life is filled with a lot of pretty cool things.
Well, I think when Draymond made him cry, can I get away with saying that?
You just did.
Well, but I mean, did we all translate it that way? When Draymond got thrown out and Steph appeared to be emotional on the court, I don't know how, if he cried, it wasn't heaving or anything like that, but he appeared emotional. It's one of the few times, and I think this is why it struck us so much, it's one of the few times I've ever seen Steph Curry look like he's not having fun.
Yeah.
How many times in your life have you seen Steph and you're like, he's not having fun right now? He always looks like he's having fun.
Totally.
On the court, off the court, in a commercial, Rakuten, whatever. It all looks fun. So, and then Steve Kerr said this. Here's a quote from Steve Kerr. Quote, one of the greatest basketball games I've ever been a part of, humbled by being a part of it. End quote. And for Steve Kerr now, think about what he's saying. One of the greatest basketball games he's ever been a part of. He's been a part of some really great, really great basketball games.
Yeah, he's won some titles now. I've been a part of some things.
Thanks, man.
In Chicago, San Antonio, Golden State. So even at his time in Arizona, he's been a part of some great basketball games. So for him to say that, I think it kind of speaks to what we all were feeling watching it, because Director of Sports Lucas Alexander, he's an excitable young lad, but he was beyond excited today. He was running around and clapping and doing everything but leading USA chants. And, you know, I was looking at it like, this is more impactful than I thought that this game was or this game would have been. And the fact that they were down 17 in the first half and down double digits much of the way, in that late third, early fourth quarter stretch. For that to happen, and Steve Kerr to say that, it tells you exactly what they were feeling.
Well, it's that classic adage, right? You don't know what you got till it's gone. I thought that's what this game was today. We've been sleepwalking. Nobody cared, but you do care. You just didn't know that you cared, and you needed to be challenged for you to know that you cared, because nobody really ever believes when Team USA basketball hits the floor, no one ever really believes that it's going to be a game. And so I think that what happened here, and I'm not speaking for everybody, obviously. Some of you cared a lot, and some of you still don't care. But I do think the dynamic that unfolded today was, we've just been sitting here thinking, well, yeah, they'll win gold. And, you know, kind of whatever, like, we'll watch, and it's cool. Steph's there, LeBron's there, Kevin Durant's there. And then all of the sudden, on a Thursday, on your way to work or running errands, you're confronted with, they're not even going to the gold medal game. And it's in that moment where you're like, oh, wait a second, no, you do care. And I'd argue we needed that. They needed that, and we needed that. You know, Shaq's out here, I'm not impressed unless they win by 20, all that stuff. You know, it's like, hold on. When you're suddenly faced with, you're not even going to go to the gold medal game, that's when you find out. So I think that's what you watch Director of Sports Lucas and everybody else do. I just checked my WhatsApp. There's 30 texts since the start of the show. The game was already over. Everybody's going, like, just, it's a big buzz all day. You heard what FP sounded like. He's waking his neighbors, screaming in his place. So that's all. That's what I thought today was.
And it's always fun to watch people just discover their patriotism. And it happens with the World Cup, where we all become Americans, even if you're not a soccer fan. When the U.S. is playing fill-in-the-blank country, Slovenia or Germany or Ghana, we always seem to go up against Ghana in those early pool play matches. Even if you're not a soccer fan, you can don the emotional red, white, and blue, and you find your inner American, and you go crazy for it. And so today, with the basketball team, that was the reaction for so many, which, like you said, you know, South Sudan, it's a snooze, and Brazil, we boat raced them in the quarterfinals, and you're really not that invested. And even today, if they would have been up by 24 in the second quarter, you probably would have had it on, but you wouldn't have been that emotionally charged up.
Background noise.
But the fact that they fell behind and stayed behind, and it looked like for a long time, like, oh my God, this is going to be a disaster.
Well, and then our favorite television characters took over. That's the other thing that I think also happened.
True.
You know what I mean? There's in sports, you know, this is the, not the argument, but you know, something that I've talked about a lot with the whole Caitlin Clark thing this year, which is that, you know, when people get jealous or mad or, oh, it's race or why, what have you, in terms of like, why is Caitlin Clark so popular when she hasn't even played a minute in the WNBA yet? Well, for all kinds of complicated and non-complicated reasons, Caitlin has become a television character. And I don't always know the story of why someone becomes a television character. Why are the Kardashians so popular? I know some of the answers. And then there's others. Like, why are they this popular? You know, your eyebrows go up, but like, they're incredibly popular with teenage girls still today. Well, what's going on there? Why? Well, they've become these massive celebrity television characters. People want to mimic them, watch them, whatever. Steph and LeBron have driven that in the sport of basketball for a decade. And so there's the comeback, there's the patriotism, there's also the ego. Let's be real.
Yep.
Some people got in touch with their patriotism and others just got in touch with their ego because we're America and basketball, damn it, is our sport and you can't beat us.
Right.
But then the whole thing, the bus gets driven by largely three TV characters we love watching and know so well. Steph, LeBron, KD.
Right, and the other side had a, and I'll use the word villain for the sake of him being on the other team, Nikola Jokic became the villain, and he's leading this plucky little Serbian team, and they're dominating the U.S.? That can't possibly be. Interesting you say about television characters, because Caitlin Clark has become a basketball TV character, and yet she's not on this Olympic team. And I don't know how much you've been following the U.S. women's journey.
As closely. They don't lose.
Right, but the point is, like, the majority of people haven't paid one iota of attention to them because they are so, so dominant. And I think they've won now 59 straight international.
58 or 59, yeah.
And, I mean, they are absolutely crushing teams. And, you know, if Caitlin were there, people would be more interested in this team, even though she probably doesn't deserve to be there. Based on basketball merits, and she didn't practice with the team beforehand, whatever the reasons are, if she were there, they'd be garnering even more attention.
No question.
Because she is such a character.
No question. No question about that at all. By the way, to also circle back to a conversation we had off the top of the show, which is why a four-time champion head coach who also seems like an incredibly nice guy, who also has won a bunch of rings as a player, has had just one of the most amazing basketball careers that has ever happened in the history of this country. For whatever reason, I don't know how many games he's coached in the last year and a half where social media doesn't call him an idiot in real time, constantly. So check this out. Remember the quote that I just read you from Steve Kerr?
Yeah.
By the way, it was sent out by Gary Washburn, who is a reporter for the Boston Globe. File that in the back of your head. Boston. Jason Tatum got 0 minutes today. So Gary Washburn tweets out the quote, "One of the greatest basketball games I've ever been a part of, humbled by being a part of it." Can I read for you the first four responses from basketball fans right below that quote?
On his Twitter.
On Gary Washburn's Twitter.
Okay.
NBA columnist, Boston Globe.
I'll put the over-under on idiot references at 1.5.
Okay. First one. They won in spite of you. LMFAOOOOOOO.
Okay.
Next one.
Laugh my Foxborough ascot off. off.
Next one. Get him, Gary.
You better be careful.
Ask him why he didn't play JT. Okay.
Get him, Gary.
Next one. Homie got a front row seat to watch Steph's whole career. Nothing changed. Next one. It was only close because of his dumbass rotations.
Oh, there you go. Those dumb rotations.
I mean, I could go to the next one. The next one just has Kerr. Clown emoji, poop emoji.
Clown emoji, poop emoji?
Normally
you put those in the other order.
What's wrong with clown poop?
It's better to be poop clown. You poop clown?
I don't know if that's true.
Well, because the poop, actually, the proper way to do it would be donkey emoji, clown emoji.
Yeah, there needs to be another emoji.
Because if you're a donkey, that's
some clown bleep bleep.
Right.
Yeah.
That's okay. Some clown bleep bleep.
Next one. I said I'd only do four, but they keep going.
Steve, this is Radio Gold.
Steve Kerr is one of the worst coaches to be part of the greatest games of basketball. Next one. Make sure you ask about Tatum. Next one. You have the best players in the world and nearly lost to a bunch of goat farmers.
That's fire. That's mean-spirited.
That is not okay. I'm reading someone else's word. Fire this man. That'd be amazing if the Olympic coach got fired on the way to the gold medal game. Next one. JT gonna beat his bleep in the locker room. Yeah. It
sounds like they're not happy with him.
On and on and on. There's not one thing here that says anything nice about Steve Kerr. I understand,
it's Twitter.
And I understand they're Gary Washburn's followers. So they are largely Boston fans, and Tatum got 0 minutes. So you're mad, and I get it, but ... I don't get it. And Warrior fans, you are not immune from this conversation because this is a good snapshot of what Twitter looks like here in the Bay Area quite often after the Warriors either win close games or lose a game.
Usually off a loss. But
usually.
Your point is well served. And, you know, you look at Steve Kerr and there are only five coaches in the history of the association who have won more titles than Steve Kerr has. Five. He's currently sixth all-time in NBA titles as a coach. Forget the titles he won as a player, including a game-winning shot for Chicago. So he's in rare air, and his winning percentage of 65.4 is among the greatest of all time. So somewhere along the line, you got to give Steve some effing credit. And maybe it's not here in the Olympics where he's clearly keeping Jason Tatum down. And, you know, Derek White only played 7 minutes as well. Where's Boston fan taking up for D. White, who didn't get to play? So far, so good for Steve Kerr, in my opinion. Yeah, the team didn't look great. Is that Steve's fault that they came out and they looked a little nervy and they looked a little flat? No, it's his rotations. And I wonder if Jason didn't come for him in the locker room as they head to the gold medal game.
Tell him to go for a swim in the river. The guy nearly cost them the game. End of third rotation was brutal. Curry saves him from historical humiliation. Every single response is the same. So it's Twitter. It's Boston. I get it.
Turns out that river's dirty.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, it's not
I mean, most of them are.
Well, that's a... Apparently, they had to, like, delay the triathlon because the river was so dirty.
I mean, it's not like
the River Seine.
Yeah, the River Seine.
Now, the Truckee, that is
that's some
restaurant quality.
That's beautiful.
That's some clean
that's
snow
some
melt.
Beautiful H2O.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want the restaurant quality.
Thank you. So, listen, I'm not offended by any of this.
Steve's not offended by any of it.
No, I'm just, I am curious. I'm curious why Steve Kerr has not sort of like earned a little bit more respect. I know that Steve Kerr's got plenty of fans here in the Bay. I know that. I'm not letting Twitter take over, and I'm not going to say that, oh, my God, why does everybody hate Steve? A lot of you love Steve Kerr. A lot of you respect Steve Kerr. I'm surprised that he doesn't have more. That's all. I'm surprised that almost everybody doesn't at least acknowledge that Steve flipping Kerr is like, you know, pretty good coach. I'm not even saying Hall of Fame and the greatest ever. Like, can you acknowledge that Steve Kerr is not a bumbling idiot when he puts together rotations with an entire staff of people and pages and pages of analytical information?
Right. So that's the part of it that I want to drill down on, okay, because his assistants are all great coaches. You've got Tyronn Lue and you got Mark Few and you've got others who have a vast amount of basketball experience. Are you sitting here telling me that all of them are going up to Steve Kerr and saying, you got to play Jason Tatum? And Steve, you know what? I've seen him. We beat him in Boston. I'm not playing Jason Tatum.
Spo was on the
Ty
staff,
Lue,
right?
Sit down. Spo, yeah. Get off me, Spo. Get off me, text line. You know, Mark Few, zip it, Few. You're not going to tell me what to do, Few.
Yeah, you know how many words you get? Few.
Exactly. Less than Few. Less than Dibley.
Yeah.
You get Few.
Well, geez. You might as well just go home.
And I've already spoken far too much in this bit, but you get my point. Like, this is a staff decision. This is not Steve Kerr going rogue. And they obviously think that wherever Jason Tatum's game is right now, or whatever the fit is for Tatum against Serbia, he wasn't going to be a guy in their rotation, so they didn't play him, and they didn't play Haliburton.
You know what? There's something to be said here that, like, I'm suddenly noticing a trend through four different conversations that we're having this week, and it's all about feelings. And when the rubber meets the road, when it is go time in professional sports, there is no room for that. I understand that, you know, you mentioned managing egos. Yes, especially in the NBA. That's a big part of it. But we got people offended about Jason Tatum. Oh my gosh, Camilo Duvall. We can't put Camilo in if they're up by five runs. Can't put Camilo in 3 days in a row. Can't put Camilo in if it's raining. Can't pull Camilo out because his feelings might get hurt. Same thing with Brandon. Brandon up in his feelings with the 49ers. Even though all of us can analytically look at the 49ers situation and realize this is not personal. They're not like, Brandon, we hate you. You know what? We've had a master plan for 7 years to pay all of our homegrown players. And then once we got to the end, we were going to pick one and just turn him into a total dumpster fire and make fun of him in a national incident. What on earth? There's no room. There's no room for these feelings. You have got to make decisions that are in the moment, that are what you think, and you will be wrong by definition sometimes, but what you think puts everybody in their best position to win, period. And if that means Jason Tatum gets mold in his sneakers, then that means Jason Tatum gets mold in his sneakers. By the way, a guy who historically, as an NBA one, gets into big moments in his career and puts up a clank fest. Didn't even win the NBA Finals MVP in his own championship. I'm old enough to remember when our star here in the Bay Area used to get ripped for that. And now we're supposed to apologize because he can't get into the game over Curry, Steph, or LeBron and KD? Sit down.
Yeah.
No feelings. There's no room for that. It's semifinals.
Yeah, it's fighting tooth and nail, too, against the Serbia team. And, you know, you had the second unit, and that's where people want to criticize, because you had Anthony Edwards. You tell me Tatum can't be in there over Anthony Edwards, and yeah, that's what they're telling you. And you're playing Holiday because he's a better defender than Jason Tatum. So when you look at the fit of this team, Jason Tatum's skill set maybe doesn't fit when you've got other guys who are going to be looking to score more often, including Joel Embiid. Steph was on a heater, so you're going to keep him in there on the short rotation. KD is a guy who's unguardable. He's going to play. LeBron's the greatest to ever do it, so we're running out of minutes for people who can't do specialized things. Like Bam Adebayo comes in there just to spell Embiid. He's a guy who can rebound and block a shot, although if you ask Lucas Alexander, director of sports in the back, how many times he screamed, get an effing rebound. Because, I mean, good Lord, there were so many times where the ball was just bouncing free. But it's just not time for Tatum.
It's not. And by the way, that's what bothered me the most about Draymond's comments, you know, about benching Tatum and then saying that the staff is trying to cover for it by benching Embiid. To me, you know, the stars of the league get to a point where it's like you owe them minutes. Every single one on this roster is a superstar.
Right.
Somebody's going to have to eat it. Sorry, Tatum. You win.
Or, in this case, you lose.
Yeah. Eat it.
You're playing the role of Joey Chestnut.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to have to eat it.
All right. Join 95.7 The Game at Harding Park Friday, September 6th. For the Pettinelli Financial Partners Golf Tournament, benefiting the Autism Society, San Francisco Bay Area. Go to 957thegame.com to learn more. It's presented by ATCO Pest Control, the Bay Area's locally family-owned pest control company. We'll get to some calls on this, 888-957-9570, and sometime in the very, very near future, hopefully here in the next 5 minutes. But I told him it was going to float a little bit because he's got some stuff going on. He said, wife needs me to go to the grocery store, and I don't want to call you guys from the checkout line.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's smart.
Yeah.
You get a nice, like, loaf of French bread, and then when you get to the car, let me know.
And so, you told him, of course, that we would see him.
In the aisles.
In the aisles.
Thank you. TJ Houshmandzadeh, who knows Brandon Ayuk better than anybody, is going to jump in here pretty soon as well. It's Willard and Dibs.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Dude, that's a great question. So that's a great question. That's a really good question, Dibs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, TJ Houshmandzadeh is going to hop on here shortly. Luke, yay, nay, what we got? Yeah? For how long? Okay.
That was good radio there.
Well, listen, we got to know what the hell's going on. So he's trying to call TJ Houshmandzadeh, and We're working on it.
I see the hotline.
We're working on it. Okay? We'll get him. Ain't no stress there, but we're sitting here talking about Team USA's victory earlier today and just the somewhat general reaction that Steve Kerr seems to get. And some people were bothered by the rotations. And if that word isn't like plastered on the wall next to Steve's bed, then I don't know what is, because that would be my sort of motivating factor. That's the word that everyone wants to bring up with him. And you can question them, and you can point out mistakes, and you can Moses Moody, all of these things. These are all cool in my book. But I do wonder why he doesn't get a little bit more respect. A little bit more credit, a little bit more just a salute, like, you know, let's move past the you're a clown with poop emoji who has no clue what he's doing. I don't know. I don't know any other coaches who've accomplished what he has in any sport who sort of get treated that way, even if it is in a stupid echo chamber like Twitter.
Right, and that's just the way it goes, because especially when you're a fan of a team and your players on that team are not getting the run that you're used to seeing them get, and you tune into Team USA because you want to see Jason Tatum play, and he's a guy who's one of the best players in the country, best players in the association, yet this coach, this guy, this Warrior guy, who's ridden Steph Curry's coattails to four titles in some people's view, that's the only reason why Jason Tatum's not playing. I could see you getting frustrated because you want to see Tatum out there.
Yeah, no. Listen, I get the eyebrow raising, but you and I also know exactly what Steve would say, right? Because he said it to us 100 times last year. He started using the word math. And these are the greats of the game. And you don't play 12 players if you're trying to win. You just don't do that in basketball. And so there are going to be very, very good players who get left on the bench. Why is Tyrese Halliburton sitting so much less offensive than Jason Tatum?
Because what has he done in the league relative to Jason Tatum? Who's okay. An NBA champion?
Right, he's an NBA champion. He's on a much better team.
Yeah.
Halliburton's numbers are right next to all the other great players in the league.
Yeah, but Should've won All-Star MVP. He's not a made man like some think that Jason Tatum is. And there's levels to everything. And, you know, if you look at the top level on this team, it is Steph, LeBron, and KD. And then you can go down to your next level of Joel Embiid, whoever else you want to put there. Some people would put Jason Tatum in that next echelon. But Steve Kerr and his staff don't think so. Or they don't think that the fit and what Jason's doing right now is exactly what they want to go with.
Let's go to Joe in the city on Willard and Dibs. Hi, Joe. What are you doing?
Hey, guys. What's going on? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, man.
Just driving right now, stuck in traffic. I wonder if this is like the actual narrative from the game is about Jason Tatum. Because, I mean, maybe it crossed my mind for 15 seconds that he wasn't playing. But that was just the best game. And I'm with you guys that it's low-hanging fruit. They're only going to play seven or eight guys. And we're talking about Jason Tatum. Like, he's, you know, one of the best players in the NBA. He's just not. So who really cares? I think to your question on why Steve Kerr gets so much hate, I wonder if it's a part of Steph Curry just being the most likable dude in the NBA. Like, who has been a more likable superstar? And Draymond, you know, what is he doing undermining Steve Kerr by questioning the coaching decision? And I just wonder if it's this dynamic of Steph being so likable, Draymond being such a pest, who really needs to keep his mouth shut a little bit, and Kerr being political and outspoken. He does play with lineups a little bit, but I don't think that, you know, makes its way to the East Coast. I think there's just the dynamics of the Golden State Warriors somehow lead to Steve Kerr being, you know, this not-like guy. I don't know, but the Tatum stuff is just ridiculous.
Yeah, Joe, this is an interesting point. Thanks for calling in and bringing this up. Okay, so he brought up politics. Obviously, Steve has been around winning his entire career, but is often not, if maybe ever, like sort of the central figure, right? He's part of the Bulls dynasty. Are you the main guy? No. You're part of the Spurs dynasty. Are you main the guy? No. He's part of the Warriors dynasty. Are you the main guy? No, you're one of the main guys, but you're not the main guy. And so, I don't know, like, I almost feel like what he was saying there was, is there like this jealousy or this thought that your bleep don't stink or you're smug, or what is it that would lead to Steve Kerr just not being likable? I find Steve Kerr to be one of the most likable human beings we talk to.
Yes, because we are aligned politically and with what he does.
Not about politics.
And he's also coaching our team to four titles.
But I mean, like, the way he treats people, the way he talks to people.
Yes, we know him better than 99% of the people who are out there. So if you're responding to a tweet from Gary Washburn and you're back east, you don't hear Steve Kerr in a weekly interview with Willard and Dibbs. And maybe you don't align with what Steve Kerr represents as a person. Maybe you don't even know who he is as a person. Like, for example, Tom Thibodeau, I couldn't tell you two things about how he treats people or who he is as a person. I know what I think of him as a coach and the way he goes about coaching his teams. I don't necessarily love it, but I don't know who he is.
Yeah, but if you didn't know that much about a person, wouldn't you default back to simply the accomplishments? You and I have no idea what it's like to cover Andy Reid. I have no idea. He looks like Santa Claus with a mustache only. So we sort of have this idea that he's just jolly. And he does have, I guess, a very good reputation of being good to people. But you and I don't experience that. So what do? We default to his accomplishments. You know, I actually could give you opinions from others that Phil Jackson sometimes can be pretty prickly to be around. But what?
11 titles.
And his Shaq and Kobe and Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen. And so people did say, well, Phil's had a lot of great players, but you still never heard people be like, dude, clown show. Like, total idiot, does not know basketball.
But he never coached in the social media era.
Yeah,
so, well, and that's part of it. 2011 was his last year.
Yeah.
That's at the very beginning, the nascent days of Twitter.
It's Twitter, but there was others.
There was
other social
media.
There was
no Instagram. There was no TikTok.
Yeah.
There was Facebook where, you know, tell us what you're doing. I think that was before social media became this nasty cesspool of opinions and just, you know, out there with the anger and the negativity that comes with social media.
But what if we even remove Twitter? You and I host a radio show for the flagship of the Golden State Warriors. When the Warriors lose, there's a line of people on the daily calling us. Steve Kerr, man, you got to stop this stuff. You got to stop with the rotations. It's Steve Kerr.
And people want him out. Steve Kerr got to go.
I don't get it. I really don't. To me, there's two ways to do it. You know, there's nothing wrong with calling our show the day after Moses Moody or Jonathan Kuminga don't get enough minutes and saying that. But that's the small sample. That's the focused point. The larger points are the ones that I don't get. The problem is Kerr. Really?
Well, he doesn't play young people. They don't develop the young people, Mark. They sit there and they hold Moses Moody down.
Except for Brandon Pajemski is apparently untouchable. Yeah. Jonathan Kuminga is favored by Jimmy Shapiro to be the most improved player in the NBA this year. So is it difficult when you haven't turned 23 yet to crack a rotation that considers itself a title contender? Yes. Yes, and it should be.
Right, and I agree with you, but that's not what fans think.
That's why people are worried about Ricky Pearsall starting, because the 49ers are supposed to win the Super Bowl this year. And you don't just huck people who haven't played before into the lineup and give them a key role. Like, you're supposed to earn that.
Yeah, Kuminga 9-1, and this is from betonline.ag. Kuminga, most improved player, he has the lowest odds at 9-1. Wembanyama, 9.5-1. Then it's Evan Mobley, and then a series of other players. Brendan Podziemski, 28-1 to be most improved player. And that struck me.
Yeah, what do you think about that?
What if Jonathan Kuminga is the most improved player this year? What does that mean for him? Not only financially, but what his numbers would be like? Well, and what does it mean for this team?
Financially, he'd get in the bag.
Well, you might get the bag before that anyway.
Maybe.
You know, Jordan Poole got the extension in October, so you could see Jonathan Kuminga get extended before he enters the final year of his deal. That would not be totally out of the ordinary. You saw some other members of his draft class already get paid, so that might be something that the Warriors would be smart to do before he goes out.
If he's averaging 24 a game after three games, just go ahead and do it right now, because it's only going to get worse. You're right. So there's that. I think the question you're asking, though, is if Jonathan takes that kind of a leap, well, then I would argue that the Warriors have a chance to be very, very good this year.
No doubt. No doubt. I mean, if they have him, and it's an offshore book, but they have him at 9-1 for most improved player. To become most improved, he would have to go from where he is up to around 20 a game, or maybe north of 20 a game, and improve the rebounding totals and really be a starter and a solid, more than rotational player on this team. And if that happens, all of a sudden you've got a team that might be a top four seed. If Kuminga's getting you 21.7 a game and 7 rebounds and is the most improved player in the league, wow.
Quick aside.
Sure. You're allowed it.
On this overseas book and all of the numbers for most improved player, Brandon Pajemski is spelled wrong. So you can mispronounce it.
Pajemski kid.
And yep. Misspell it.
Of course you can.
Pajemski.
Yeah. Yeah, Pajemski ends in an I, not in a Y.
Not in a Y, okay. Yeah. Well, and this is our friend Jimmy Shapiro who puts this out. So he, I don't know if it was a copy-paste or, I'll go to the actual book, and the actual book, it's book. The actual book itself may have it wrong.
Brandon Pajemski.
It still might be my favorite.
Oh, gosh. All right.
Yeah, the actual book itself, betonline.ag.
.ag, sure.
PODZIEMSKY.
M-S-K-Y. Most improved player, I mean, you have to be someone that we know, but also, I don't know, Kuminga's coming off of what I would argue was a very, very improved season. To be most improved player, usually you have to maybe struggle a little bit the year before. That'd be my only sort of argument with this list, is the top people on it, they were very good last year. Not great. I mean, it's not overwhelming. He wasn't an all-star. But I don't know. It's an interesting list. Very interesting list.
Yeah, last year, the most improved player in the association was a guy who went from very good to unbelievable. Tyrese Maxey, who averaged 25.9 a game. He was your most improved player.
You know, you mentioned Pajemski is tied for the 12th spot in the most improved player rankings or odds.
Yep.
You know who's tied for 15th? Just behind Pajemski at 33-1?
Tell me.
Jordan Poole.
Really? Okay.
He needs some improvement.
Well, that would be, you know, that would be something if he was to win it.
Be something.
Be a step up. So not all the most improved players. As I'm looking at the voting last year, the majority of them went from good to even better. Like, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander finished 12th in the voting, and he averaged 30 a night.
Right.
So he was improved.
Yeah, he was already great. He was already an all-star.
Most improved is a guy who went from really good to unbelievable.
Sure, 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 sure.
So Kuminga could be in that category.
Trace Jackson-Davis is on the list, too, by the way.
Yeah, there's a bunch of guys on the list.
40-1. Well, those are all the Warriors.
Okay.
Is those
Moses
three.
Moody not listed?
Moses Moody is not listed. Dang it. No, getting kept down again.
Yeah, there you go.
You know whose fault? You know whose fault that is, that he's not on the list? Yeah, that's Steve Kerr.
No doubt.
Steve Kerr. By the way, TJ Hushman's out of confirmed 5 o'clock. We'll do TJ right at 5 o'clock. Let's go to Mark in the city. Like it. Hey, Mark, what's going on?
Hey, guys. I love Steve Kerr because he brought championships to San Francisco and Golden State, and he is a great coach, no doubt about it. But even he admitted last year, he lost 5 or 6 games by his coaching, and I interpret that as he puts too many players out there that defensive liabilities at crucial times, and that did apply to this game today. I mean, Joel Embiid has been a defensive liability this whole contest, I would say, at the Olympics. And Steph Curry, I love him as much as he played great today offensively. How many times did we see him chasing the guy at the three-point line? He's got a bunch of two-way players on that team, and you only have one opportunity to win these games. So you can't have a clunker game. And the next game, he has the defensive players, the two-way players, that he can beat any team. But if he continues to put defensive liability lineups out there, it's going to be just like one of those five or six games that he lost last year that he should have won.
Well, okay, so, yeah, Mark, this is interesting now. All right, so give a few nuts and bolts on the changes that you would make.
Anthony Edwards will be playing 30 minutes, period. That guy can play defense and offense. He's a great on ball. He's a closer, similar to Kuminga. Kuminga, I know, is not that great off ball or on ball, but that guy makes defensive plays, blocks, the alter shots. Steph, I love Steph, but they're banging him all over the place. He can't get to the wide open guy. I mean, and France, and Serbia was making those shots too. I mean, so again, it's just one game he has to win. I'm not saying he's a clown. He's far from a clown. He's a great coach, but his lineups sometimes are wanting as far as defense. And that happened last year a lot. He felt obligated to put Clay in. Oftentimes, that's what you would see. It was like old men trying to catch a bus they'd never catch.
Well, and that's the politics of it. Okay, so here's the yin-yang as far as I'm concerned. Mark, thank you. It's a really good call. But listen to this now. See what just happens there? So Steve Kerr plays Klay Thompson. Why? Because he's earned it, right? And there's politics involved in sitting Klay Thompson down. You don't do that to a future Hall of Famer. And a lot of us Warrior fans would be like, yes, you do. Yes, you do. Because he's angry and he's being ineffective more often than he used to be. And it's getting in the way of people like Kuminga and Moody, right? So forget the past. Forget all he's earned. Well, isn't that the point you're making in terms of why Jason Tatum is not benchable in the Olympics? Well, but Jason is earned. Well, so there you go. We can't have it both ways. And I know one of them is Warrior Games and the other one is Team USA. But this has been my point about Steve Kerr all along. It's never been that all the rotations and decisions are perfect. My point is, he damned if he do and he damned if he don't.
Yes.
Every single time.
And it looked like today he was going with more of a defensive rotation anyway. And if I'm thinking Drew Holiday or Anthony Edwards, I'm taking Drew Holiday as a better defender. He's a guy who's been all NBA on defense. And, you know, Anthony Edwards is a more explosive player, and Drew Holiday is a more experienced player. And one thing we know about Steve Kerr is he leans toward experience. And if you look at the players who played the most today, it was LeBron, who's either 40 or about to be. It's Steph Curry. It's Kevin Durant. And then you played Embiid, Booker, and Drew Holiday. Those were your guys. You played six guys more than 20 minutes today. And then the other four were just spotted. And Anthony Davis is another vet who would play more, but he's a guy who, in these high leverage moments, I wouldn't necessarily trust.
Well, I mean, look, there's always a give and take. If you want a more defensive heavy lineup, yeah, Steph Curry's going to play less minutes. Guess what happens if you do that today? Enjoy your bronze medal game. You get blown off the floor without his offense today.
Completely. 36 of their 95.
Blown off the floor. And so does Steve favor Steph? Maybe. Should he? I don't know. You know, there's a political conversation there too. But the bottom line was he was far and away the best player on the floor today.
Yeah.
And if he gives up a little bit on one end, but he overwhelms you on the other end to the point where he's the best player on the floor, I'm going to live with that.
And he's going to live with the vets.
Yeah. What was the plus minus for Steph today?
Steph was
plus 20?
12 of 19, yeah, and a plus 20. So
In a four-point game?
Totally.
I mean, there's your MVP of today.
When he played 33 of the 40 minutes. So, you know, now we got all of America talking about the Stephless minutes, you know?
I do think people want Steve Kerr to be a hockey coach.
Line changes.
Yeah. This guy should be in on defense, and that guy should be in on offense. And you're not allowed to do that in the NBA.
Well, and I also realize that, you know, the whole thing about damned if you do, damned if you don't, when you've got this much talent, you should win the gold medal. And if you don't, now we got to figure out who to blame. And the easiest person to blame is the head coach, because if they happen to go out and lose to France on Saturday, and I don't know what the spread is, but they'll probably be favored by 10 or 11, It's a road game. It's in France. France is good. They've got great length. But the U.S. is going to be favored by probably 10 points or so.
I'm going to get you a line while you're talking.
And if they go out there and they lose this game, well, then you're going to look at who Steve didn't play. If he only would have played Halliburton and Jason Tatum, Steve's rotations, it won't be the fact that certain players went out there and played poorly. And I look at Anthony Davis today, who was a little bit Wiggins-esque with, he took one shot in 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Davis.
He does float. That is his reputation
he
as well.
Float,
he
yes.
disappears.
Yeah.
I got a spread for you.
Okay.
What did you say you thought it was?
10.5 is what I thought.
10.5. Yeah. Nowhere near enough.
It's more than 10.5, huh?
Keep going.
15?
Keep going.
17 and a hook? They're favored by 20?
They're favored by 16.
16 points?
They're favored by 16. That feels like are we being duped? That's stupid. You should bet France plus 16, shouldn't you?
You won't.
Yeah, I will.
Well,
and I'll root for the United States to win by 9.
Yeah. What, I'll say it now so that Grandy and Lucas can make sure to get their bets in. I like that, France plus the 16.
Oh, then never mind. I'm out.
I'm out. Stay hot, Debra. 16 feels
16?
Like a lot.
16? That's absurd. That feels ridiculous. All right. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Also, we're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. I want to clear the decks and set the table for this, okay? There has been more than enough Brandon Ayuk conversation, I'm sure, for everybody over the last week to two to three. But we always say the same thing when this is about to happen. To us, this is the most important conversation that happens on the radio with regard to Brandon Ayuk. And that is when his personal wide receiver coach and former receiving great TJ Houshmandzadeh speaks on this. His agent is not going to take any interviews. The Niners are not going to tell you the whole story. TJ is going to bring you behind the scenes. And he joins us next on Willard and Dibbs.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.